Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Paddy Joe Burke, just an absolute tonic, and he's speaking at the finale of the Elphin Fit Farmers programme, which marks the 5-year anniversary of the programme throughout Roscommon. It's happening on Thursday this week, that's the 19th of December at Elphin Community Centre at 7:30. So if you're in the area, you'll get to meet Laura and you'll get to meet Paddy Joe and all of the other people who've gone through the programme as well. Well worth going, I would say, and thank you to everybody who's been in touch to say they're sending Christmas cards to those who are living alone. What a lovely idea. Now, we've had a year full of elections in 2024. We've had our own, the presidential race in the United States, a snap one in France, the Tory wipeout in the UK, and there's one taking place in Romania now too, where the presidential election is set to be rerun. Plus, in South Korea, we had an attempted coup. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Graham Finlay, who's lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Graham, we're going to go to South Korea first because they've kicked off proceedings over the impeachment of the president. So take us through what's happening there.
It's a fast-moving target. Today, the Constitutional Court in South Korea is meeting to decide whether the president was properly impeached and to remove him from office. This could take months, but they're getting going now. It took about 2 months the last time, so we may get a result sooner or later. But people will be aware that President Yoon Suk-yeol declared martial law on December 3rd. There was really dramatic scenes of the parliamentarians getting into the parliament despite the army's attempts to prevent them, holding the army off, which, to its credit, I suppose, did not engage in any serious violence. Them all voting to rescind the martial law order, and then later on to impeach President Yoon. And they didn't the first time because the president's own party wouldn't vote for it, hoping he'd resign. This is kind of a Nixonian kind of moment in South Korea. But when he failed to and became sort of defiant, gave various defiant speeches and refused to show up at the hearings on the whole affair, they've impeached him again on Sunday. And so now the Constitutional Court is taking up the case.
Okay, so that is running and one to watch. And then in Romania, as I mentioned, we have the cancelled presidential election, the rerun, and the blame being pointed very firmly at Russia.
Yeah, this is in the context of a wider series of elections where in the area and in the Caucasus where Russia has tried to interfere quite heavily in a variety of elections and where the voters were really presented with a choice of a pro-Russian candidate or a pro-European candidate. So in Romania, they had presidential elections. The Constitutional Court, which gets to decide all these things and whose decisions cannot be appealed, went through a full recount because a very sort of an unexpected candidate, Calin Georgescu, came out in front, and he was quite obscure before these elections. He's mostly known for being a conspiracy theorist. He believes the moon landings were faked. He's a COVID denialist and some other things. But he came out in front, and he was followed up by the second candidate, who was Lasconi, who's a more pro-European candidate. Now, she also was opposed to the corruption of the ruling coalition in Romania. Much of this was a sort of referendum on the current governing coalition, which is a grand coalition of the longtime ruling Social Democrats and more right-wing parties who have been losing support, and they lost support in the parliamentary elections, which happened between the first round of the presidential election and the second round.
Mm-hmm. So then we had these papers, like a dossier published by the Romanian president, which seemed to show nefarious goings on when it came to the election, right?
Well, that's it. This is highly unusual because nobody's alleging that ballot boxes were stuffed or votes were rigged in any way. But after the runoff was declared by the Constitutional Court, the president, Klaus Iohannis, who's interestingly a member of one of the national minorities of Romania, declassified all the intelligence information surrounding Georgescu's campaign, and which it seems like, you know, at least 800 TikTok accounts by which were set up by Russia, were activated for Georgescu just before the election. And thousands, as many as 25,000 accounts on TikTok, this is the TikTok election, were activated just to support Georgescu. And they didn't flag their content as electoral related, which is illegal. And they didn't reveal that they were being paid to do it, which is also illegal. So Georgescu claimed he spent no money on his own campaign. He did. He was very active on TikTok. But because they were illegal, the Constitutional Court met again, reversed its earlier decision, and canceled the presidential election in its entirety. And it's going to be months and months until we actually have another one to give the candidates time to build support. And it's really kind of unprecedented that you would cancel an entire election just because people voted on the basis of sort of ill-disclosed and irregular forms of electoral propaganda.
And how do you rule out it happening again, you know, when it is online and people are free to put up online whatever they will, if that's how the influence happened?
Well, one thing is if Georgescu is charged with any of the charges around this. And what we're seeing in Romania are some sort of allegedly armed groups who are quite right-wing groups who are supporters of Georgescu being arrested, allegedly with weapons. We're seeing some of the owners of these accounts who did get paid fleeing Romanian tax authorities and leaving the country. So this could, depending on the level of coordination by Georgescu with these Russian accounts, because they do place the blame on this on Russia, that he could be ensnared. But if not, he can certainly run again and people can vote again. And Romanians are very divided about this. Both Lasconi and Georgescu are opposed to the annulling of the election, as you might expect.
Yeah, well, let's jump to Moldova now, because we are seeing attempts to influence politics there as well. What's been happening?
Yeah, well, this is very much the same kind of thing, only much more serious. In Moldova, there was the first round of the presidential election. But there was also a referendum on whether, like, Moldova's aspiration to join the EU should be included in the constitution. And so voters were confronted with a choice of Russia or the EU, because Russia really viewed this as a threat to its influence in the region. Moldova is a very small country. They speak Romanian, but they also have a significant Russian minority. They have a breakaway republic or region, Transnistria, which has an actual Russian occupation in force. And the Russians engaged in much more serious vote rigging there. There's allegations of not just the usual cyber attacks and attacks on electoral systems, but vote rigging, ballot box stuffing, illegal transportation of voters to the polls. And because Moldovans everywhere in the world have a vote, they could marshal voters in Russia, in Azerbaijan, and in places like that, and then just straight up buying votes. As many as 300,000 people may have had their votes bought and paid for. And interestingly, Stoianoglu, who's the opposing candidate to Maia Sandu, who's the pro-European incumbent president, he won most of 51% of the votes in Moldova itself, but Sandu did especially well outside of Moldova, with voters outside of Moldova.
Right. So that's another one. And then we come to Georgia, where we had parliamentary elections in October just gone. And the backdrop to that was huge protests against the government.
Yeah. And this may, in fact, be the most chaotic of scenes. I mean, as we speak, there are massive demonstrations in Georgia. And there's severe repression being meted out on the demonstrators. And these are demonstrations not just in Tbilisi, the capital, but all over Georgia. Because, yes, these elections took place in the background of a foreign agent registration law, which looked to Georgians a lot like the kind of laws which Putin has put in place in Russia to squash the opposition. So there are already demonstrations about that. Then, during the election, there are serious allegations of vote rigging, vote buying, and intimidation of voters by the ruling Georgia Dream Party. And they did promise to ban all other political parties after the election. So the stakes are very, very high. Currently, you have the pro-European president, Salome Sukashvili, who's in the presidential building, which has a European flag flying on it. I've seen it, right? Refusing to give up her place as president in the light of what she views as a stolen election. Meanwhile, Georgia Dream, through the very complicated electoral college by which they elect the president, has put their own person in place and declared him to be the president, and are now possibly, like I said, today or tomorrow, preparing to remove Zukashvili from the presidential mansion and put her on trial.
Right, Graham, thank you very much for that whistle stop tour, and we'll catch up with all of those places in good time. That's Graham Finlay there. Coming up next, Dr. David Coleman.